When you think of strength training, what comes to mind? Maybe it's the image of someone with a perfect body flexing their biceps for all to see. Maybe it's the sound of an intense gym where weights clang and grunts echo. If you've ever felt overwhelmed with strength training or not sure where to start, let Revelation Wellness be your personal trainer. I'm Elisa Keaton, the founder of Revelation Wellness, and I'm inviting you to join us for Get Strong, a progressive strength training program for your body and soul. This program will transform the way you approach strength training because it's anchored in God's truth. And here's the best part. Getting strong is accessible to everyone. No fancy gym or equipment required. The benefits of a comprehensive strength training program are essential at all stages of life, and even more so as our bodies mature. Research shows that strength training does marvelous things for our hormones, and people who strength train have a positive body image. Of course they do. God made us with a body for ability, not vanity. And with our strength, we love God and love others. Embrace the heavy weight and push back the confusion and fear of strength training as you get strong. Every day for 4 weeks, you'll receive a daily devotional and our Foundations of Strength lessons. These teachings bring practical, myth-busting insight to building strength and fight the lies of toxic fitness and diet culture. Our experienced trainers will take you through strength-based workouts made for all fitness levels and bonus materials that examine proper form, alignment, and how to progress in your unique goals. And on rest days, use the Be Still and Beloved meditations to refresh your body and mind. This is the foundation of strength in body and soul, loving God with all your heart, with all your soul, mind, and strength. After completing Get Strong, you'll be equipped to take your strength training to the next level. With God's help and our guidance, you'll go from unsure and overwhelmed to confident and strong. It's time to move like you never thought you could, build strength, and feel better in mind, body, and soul. Join us in Get Strong.
Okay, Revelation Wellness, you just heard Elisa share about our brand new program, Get Strong, which launches September 19th. And today, we're kicking off our Get Strong series here on the podcast with a conversation that will train your mindset. Elisa and professional mindset coach Brett Burchard are here getting after mindset and how it affects us daily. You'll hear some easy, practical ways to train your mindset today. Be sure to swipe up on the show notes to connect with Brett and for more information about our Get Strong program. And remember, registration opens September the 19th. I won't keep you from this interview any longer. Let's get to it.
All right, friends, welcome to the Revelation Wellness Podcast. Welcome back. As I said in the intro, today we have Brett Burchard. Brett, you're actually, I would like to say you're someone I'm just meeting for the first time, but I know you because you are the husband of Taylor, who works very closely with me. And welcome to the Revelation Wellness Podcast.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. It's a privilege, honor to be here with you. Been following your work for a while. And of course, Taylor's been so moved and invested in it. So excited to play my part and join the journey here.
So grateful. Yeah. Taylor, his wife, kind of just came on board maybe a month ago. She's our newbie. She's the new kid on the bus, but we are loving her. And when we were talking about strength of mind, we're just kind of saying, let's talk about this. I was going to teach on it. And then I'm like, why was Taylor creative person that she is? Cause she plays a creative role here. She said, why don't we just have Brett come on and talk about it? This is what Brett does. He talks about strength of mind. I said, that makes perfect sense. So tell people what you do, Brett.
Sure. So I am a professional mindset coach. I work with elite athletes and coaches specifically, helping them develop confidence, resilience, humility, so they can compete and lead at their best abilities. And we do that primarily through a focus on how we develop their minds.
How did you fall into this?
It was filling a need, really. I was coaching professional basketball with the Phoenix Suns. in a development role for them. And what I noticed was all the other areas were being filled. We had strength coaches and trainers working on their bodies. We had skill development coaches, you know, working on their shooting and their dribbling and their passing. We had strategists putting together game plans, and no one was helping them with their mindsets. How do we help? How do we make these skills, you know, transfer into games? How do we get more out of what they're doing? How do we help them through the crap of the season, the adversity that they're facing? And no one was really dedicated to that at the time. So I saw a need, dove in, studied, started applying it and helping our athletes that way. And over time, developed my own, you know, curriculum and programs that we've been using and seeing success with.
So. What year was that? Because I'm a Phoenix, you know, I'm not, I don't know if I'm a Suns fan, but that's interesting to me and quite, you know, well, I wouldn't think, you would think they'd been doing this for a long time, mindset for the athletes. So when did you bring that in?
Yeah, so I started with the organization in 2010 and really started to developing the programs in around 2015. It's amazing to think, you would think, you know, elite performers, elite athletes, you know, of course that's a piece of it. And it's still just now getting traction even at that level. So, no doubt it's grown a lot in the last just 8 years, but, still fresh and new that people are trying to tap.
Isn't that crazy? I'm actually shocked by this. Yeah. I would think it would have been around so much longer because of athletes have one of the most focused mindset. It's like one thing I do, one goal I do, I practice the skills, I do all these things, but wow, we are so late to the game with the mind. That's fascinating.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, some of the sports like the golf and tennis and those were ahead of the curve. Even baseball was probably ahead of the curve on this. Basketball has been slower to adopt it, but it's amazing the untapped potential that's there.
So what is mindset?
Mindset is the operating system for how you do anything and everything. To me, it is the root level, the foundation that everything else flows from. I like to think of it like a tree. So the first thing we notice when we see a tree is the fruit, right? The leaves, the colors. For us, it's our presence. It's our, whatever it is, our confidence or whatever else we're showing there, the results that we're getting. But all that, most of us understand the results, and that is built out of the trunk, the health of the trunk. And the trunk is your skills or the habits you formed, the disciplines, the routines, the structure. What we miss is what's underneath the surface of that, right? Mm-hmm. It's the roots. And the mindset is the root system of the tree. Healthy mindset, healthy roots, healthy identity, how we see ourselves, that informs the skills, the habits, the resilience, the routines, the consistency, which then produces the fruit. And so mindset to me is the root system of the whole thing.
So isn't it such a cluster, right? Because we bring so much stuff to the table. These athletes or anyone, myself, I bring my story. I bring my lived experience. I bring what I have begun to create as my worldview based on my mind that I've set on for whatever it is. And maybe help us understand for the person listening that what helps to change the mindset for someone who wants to strengthen their mind and the strength of mindset? What's necessary to help the turn?
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned it right there a little bit, is our mindset is basically a filter through how we see ourselves and how we interpret our experiences. And so our whole life's worth of experiences, we've been filtering it through this lens of how we see ourselves. Our identity. The problem is we've been doing it backwards, right? We first look at the results of in our community, the results in our mission, our relationships, and we let that inform who we are. when really it should be, I know who I am, how I see myself, and then I overflow into my mission, what I'm doing, into my community and my relationships. And so the first step there, like of mindset, understanding it is flipping that order, noticing who I am first overflows into mission, what I do, community, who I'm in relationship with.
I literally have tears in my eyes a little bit because I think how beautiful school, elementary school would be, even starting at preschool, if there was just that little bit of curriculum or time to tend to a person's identity and value and mindset starts really low, and to help them understand that from there will come how you take the test or how you feel when you are standing in line at the cafeteria, whatever. It's from there. As you said, everything's coming from there.
Yeah. Amazing. Get this story. So I'm watching my friend's son play basketball. He's 8 years old. And I'm sitting with his family, grandparents, parents, sister, and we're sitting underneath the basket. He gets fouled. He goes to the free throw line. While he's waiting for the ref to give him the ball, he's like shuffling his feet. And I watch his eyes and he's looking at us under the basket. He's looking at the rim. He's looking at us under the basket. He's looking like, what's happening in this young boy's brain right now? What's he thinking? Do they like me? Do they love me? Am I good enough? What's the result of this shot going to say about how they experience me, how they love me, right? Oof. And that's not unique to an 8 year old, right? This is how we're trained and developed, right? Our brains are constantly winding around two questions: do they like me? Am I doing a good job? And that's informing our identity, who we are, our mindset.
Gosh,
if we could flip that mindset, right? If we could say, I am worthy, I'm good enough, I'm adequate. Now, how can I show up and give? I'm not seeking validation.
Oof.
Impact from there.
How can I show up and give? How can I, from what I already have, I'm resourced, I have enough. How can I give out? Where the other way is, you're right, is the mindset. The other mindset is, how does this give something to me?
Yeah.
What can I gain from that? Man, I can't even imagine. And I think just in context of you working with professional athletes, how much of a mind game must be happening, because they are, you got a crowd either loving or hating them, defining them win or lose. And yet they still want to play the game. I guess, let me ask you that. How does one train mindset in a world that's booing or cheering?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's definitely a heightened experience at that level because of the crowd, the television, the notoriety, all mm-hmm. that. But really the experiences are not that far different, right? Mm-hmm. The players I work with, they have an ambition, they have a vision of what they're going to go after. Just like we would, we have a goal we're going after, a vision of who we want to become. We pursue that. And then we face pressure along the way. And that pressure can be a good thing, right? It can call out the best in us. It can also deform us if we don't relate to it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
And that pressure starts to reveal doubts, mm-hmm. right? And so what we try to do with the athletes and with anybody is recognize the doubts, notice the doubts.
Mm.
When you face the pressure, then you're going to feel doubts, relational doubts of, do they like me, right? Is my team good enough? Is my family love me? We're going to face mission doubts. Do I have what it takes? And then, am I doing the right thing? Do I have the skills necessary to accomplish this? But then there's another level there of mindset doubts, where it's, am I good enough? Am I adequate enough? And so the first thing we do is we try to turn up that antenna. Say, notice the doubts. And it's in that moment where we can have a shift, right? Where we can change it to lead for validation, compete for validation, or impact, what we can give to it.
So that's the first thing you do. What else does one do to train mindset? Notice the doubts.
Tell us all the things. Yeah. Okay. So after we've noticed the doubts, right? Now, the next step there is to lean into it, right? Mm. Our natural reaction when we notice the doubts is going to be to whatever we can to comfort those doubts. We're going to either hide, withdraw, remove ourselves from the situation, try to escape, or we're going to power up and prove. We're going to project, over-project, and conquer the doubts.
Get big, get small.
Yeah, exactly. And in the athletic world, you're mostly celebrated when you get big. Right? People think that's a heroic effort, but it's an unhealthy effort. And what we know is they're doing it out of insecurity. Okay? So we say in that moment, I'm going to notice the doubts. I'm not going to be dominated by them. All right. And I'm not going to deny them. I notice them. I sit in the polarity of that and I lean in. I lean in. I pay attention. What is this? What am I learning from this? And then can I step into that situation with what I can bring and give to the table?
So when you come to that lean in moment, how do we keep peace? Do you have practices, things that they do to help them not get up in their head and stay in their head, right? Because we're talking about strength of mind, strength of mindset. Right. How do we, yes, we're in our mind, but also not get anxious in the thought?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we do teach meditation practices.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So there's a meditation we teach that's unique to our program, where we go experience the security of who we are, our identity, right? And what's popular in especially athletic culture right now, sports psychology, is mindfulness.
Yeah. Right?
It's emptying the mind, right? Notice the thoughts, notice the emotions, let them pass through, and not be dominated by those.
Yeah.
Which is awesome. But what we say is it doesn't go far enough. I mean, because mindfulness, just emptying the mind. Right? What does the Bible teach us? Fill the mind with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So mindfulness is the starting place. We empty the mind, right? We notice the emotions. We notice the fear. We notice the doubts. We surrender those to God. Say, I'm not going to be defined or dominated by those. But then we have to fill our mind with the Holy Spirit. And that's what we do in identity space practice. And so it turns mindfulness into a mindset upgrade. Okay. So now I'm not dominated by my doubts, but I can engage with a healthy mindset, what I can give and the impact I can have. And so we flip that. And then we get into some, the longer we work with an athlete, we get into like trigger building. How can we anchor that secure identity or that healthy mindset into a real tangible trigger? So we'll use music, we'll use taste, smells, whatever's works for their environment, activities that can help trigger that mindset in an instant. Because in a game, for an athlete, it's fourth quarter, 2 minutes to go, and you're starting to experience these doubts. We really don't have a chance to like run back to the locker room, mindfulness, identity space. Okay, I'm ready. Like the game's happening. Yeah. So we got to go. So we start to build triggers and habits around that secure identity that they can access on a moment's notice.
Can you give me some examples of what they might do out on the court?
Yeah. So I had one athlete that, shooting a free throw, built a trigger just around like tapping his leg. And so we matched his identity space meditation, which we did in practice.
Yeah.
With a leg tap. And that would trigger this same experience. The one most creative one is kind of a funny story is I had one player who like noticed this shift in his mindset to come to game time when he was getting his ankles taped. And so if you've ever had like athletic tape, it has a very distinct, like unique smell to
it.
And so we built a trigger around that smell. So he would do his meditation while he was getting his ankles taped. And so he would, then during the game, and
he would smell tape.
He would smell the tape. And all the players were like, what are you doing?
That's brilliant.
But that was his trigger that
wow,
connected to that healthy mindset. And so he was able to access it, you know, in a short time out.
That is so true. I know for me, I spend time in stillness with the Lord. I think for all of us too, we hear from the word. And there's that when it really hits and goes deep, that it's part of us, it's with us. And then we go out into the day and then something happens that clearly will push you back or make you doubt or make you question. And for me, it could be a meeting that I'm in where there's bad news or challenges and I feel overwhelmed. For me, I will I get out of a meeting and I put on loud music, the kind like the music that I can feel. And it's a movement because for me, I teach a lot of body stuff. Yeah. So it's just go back into your body. And then that joy or the music or whatever it is, it reminds me that the hope of what I read about in the scripture, what I meditated on this morning, it's still with me. I don't have to go and find the scripture and you know, and sit and really go deep with it. I've created those little triggers or going for a walk, going and putting my face outside in the sun and smelling the air and just having a minute to trigger myself back to,
right,
oh, it's going to be okay.
And so in that daily practice of prayer, you know, if you played the same song before and during that prayer over and over, like do that for a month, 20 times, and the trigger starts to build. Access the trigger enough times over time, all you're going to need is like one bar of that song.
Yeah.
Okay, back, right? We love to use like tokens or something, you know. What if in your prayer time you were holding whatever it is, a cross, a necklace,
wow,
whatever, you know, and that gets connected to that experience of your prayer time. Do that enough times, trigger gets built. And now I'm standing in a meeting, leading my team. All I have to do is put my hands in my pocket, grab that token, and trigger the mindset. That doesn't require a full escape.
So Brett, I mean, really what we're saying, it is that to have a mindset, which you say, I'm going to strengthen, I'm going to have a mind that is rooted in Christ or rooted in my identity of who I am. You're making evidence to say that also then we connect to our body.
Yeah.
Because the trigger is a physical thing. Something has to be here right now to then remind myself who I am in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You're triggering the senses.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
You're just going to trigger the senses, whether it's sight, sound, taste, touch, whatever it might be.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
This is important, everyone. Revelation Wellness, hope you're hearing this because your body's talking to your mind and your mind's talking to your body. That's why if our bodies are at war with our mind, if we hate our bodies, shame our bodies, think they're terrible, disconnect from them, I can work all the mindset. I can read all the Bible. I can have all that good information. But to some degree, I will never trigger myself to remember the things that I know that is true. Like I'll just go about my day and live kind of disconnected, get back in the word the next day and feel, let me try this again. Because to me, that's where what you're teaching goes from mindset, meditation, stuff we think about to the things we do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's turning the mindfulness into a mindset upgrade. It's turning the reflection, the surrender, prayer into action. You know, and it's rewiring our defaults. I love to think of it like this, like you're captaining a ship and the default of the ship is set. Autopilot is set south and you want to make a change. Mm-hmm. What do we tend to do? We're going to muster up all of our energy and determination and force of will. We're going to grab that steering wheel and start yanking it north, right? And it works for a little bit. We see some success. But then as soon as the storm hits, as soon as we run out of energy, as soon as the routine gets disrupted, we lose grip on the wheel. Where does it spin? Right back. And so the mindset upgrade is about rewiring that default. We're going to shift the autopilot to north, not just try to yank the wheel.
Muscle it back. What do you think is the one thing that's hindering us from a mindset upgrade, or what in practical life, the things that we're in, the culture we're living in now?
Sure. I would say the biggest hindrance is the shortcomings of what we're being taught to help, right? Mindfulness is everything, right? You got to have mindfulness is the most important, but we never teach the rest of it. We never teach the mindset upgrade. It's, you know, just your discipline matters most. Just be more disciplined, more consistent, whatever. That's the trunk of the tree. We're not seeing what's underneath the surface. It's the emphasis on sympathy and empathy, right?
Yeah.
We never go far enough to mercy. We say, no, I'm not just going to feel your suffering. I'm not just going to notice your suffering, but I'm going to end your suffering.
Yes.
I'm going to take action. And so we're just what we've been taught is just falling short of the complete picture, the full potential. And I think there's a lot of overwhelm. We're just, we're too crowded. We're too busy.
Yes.
We're trying to take on the whole world's problems. And that's a problem that we haven't made space to deal with the roots.
Space. Yeah, yeah. Back to making space.
Yeah.
Oof. We have a program right now that we're probably, by the time this is airing, we're going to be launching, called Get Strong, really encouraging people to increase their, you know, their muscular strength. That's something that's overlooked. We tend to, especially often in for women, we don't want to strength train or get too big, or just maybe don't know how to do it. Am I progressing correctly? And if you were going to train someone in the mindset of strength, let's say you're going to train an Olympic power lifter, what would be something you would want them to know in their mindset? Just what would be something that you would help them as a coach? So you're going to coach that aspect. And what kind of practice would come alongside that potentially? Just think about that.
Well, so for your clientele who would be going through these programs, right? And you kind of mentioned it, like, I'm not sure if I'm doing this right, never done it before. You know, and I've been to some of your programs, and you do an awesome job of, like, you're doing it right. You know,
yeah, we're encouraging.
Whatever we're doing, you're doing it right.
Yeah, if you're moving, you're doing it right. Yep, yeah, we say that a lot.
And that's like that's the starting point, right? Is noticing those doubts. Am I doing a good job? Do they like me? Am I doing it right? Do I belong?
Yeah.
The answer is yes and yes. Okay.
Okay.
So now let's get started.
Yeah.
Jump in and do it. And so, you know, I think what I would encourage, going back to, I feel like I'm repeating myself a little bit, but is noticing the doubts. And
yeah,
if we skip over that piece of it and we say, either I just have to be stronger mentally, I just got to be stronger so I can do it, so I'm going to force of will get through it, or, you know what, I'm not strong enough, I'm not cut out for it, I'm quitting. Neither one of those is the right direction. It's notice the doubts. Okay, doubts are going to be there. If you're ambitious, if you're going after something, you're going to experience pressure. If you're trying to make a change in your life, if you're trying to grow, if you're trying to develop, you're going to experience pressure. It's not a bad thing, right? And you're going to experience doubts. Yeah. We all will. Even the most connected people to God there are. They're going to experience doubts. And so it doesn't make you wrong or unhealthy or broken. Mm-hmm. It makes you human. And so you just recognize it and you say, this is my chance to grow. Mm-hmm. How am I going to relate to these doubts? Mm-hmm. And I can relate to them by comforting them with the validation, overproject, shrink back, or I can say, sit in the middle. I'm not defined by them. I'm not dominated by them. I can move forward and impact and grow. Mm-hmm. Once you conquer them once, you're going to upgrade again and you're going to have to conquer them again. It's a continual process, right? Of renewing the mind. And that's a process of growth.
What do you do with people when they do fail? Like it's straight up, I failed. Or that was a big boo-boo. What then?
Yeah, happens. It's a process. How are you interpreting the failure?
Okay.
So go back to what we said before. Our identity, how we see ourselves, is being shaped by our relationships and our results and our performance, right? But here's what we know. Identity first overflows into mission, into relationships. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not defined by failure, right? Failure is feedback for growth.
That's right. We have an acronym around here, Revelation Wellness. FAIL stands for frequent attempts in learning.
That's it.
You're just learning. There is no real fail. There is no, I've messed up. It was, I'm going to learn something.
The first thing we have to do there is reject the notion that I am a failure, right? I'm inadequate. I don't belong. Mm-hmm. Reject that notion and then come back with it's what have I learned from this experience? How can I grow? Because who I am, my identity, the roots of my tree stand strong.
So good. This is deep stuff that we could go on and on, but good news is Brett has written five books. Five books, Brett.
Five books.
I mean, and are they all within this category of mindset?
Yes. Same idea of identity formation, leadership training, mindset training. Probably like you've experienced, you know, I write one and say, I'm never writing another book again. And then a couple months later, you're like, oh, I got a great idea.
I have a great idea.
Uh-huh. Again, but yeah, the most recent one is one of my favorites, Catching Confetti, Developing.
Yes, I was going to say, you and I have a very fond affection for confetti.
Love those confetti moments.
So
that's the one most recently we wrote specifically for athletes and coaches, but we've even had people outside of the athletic arena read it and get a lot of value from it. So
love that. It's good. I know, and I thought about the title of the book, that makes sense for those arena moments, those epic moments where the confetti falls and it was all worth it.
It gets me every time. Like you watch that confetti, you see the athlete, like you can just see the joy, the satisfaction, sometimes relief on their face that like, and it's that moment where like all those doubts are quieted.
Yeah.
All those moments where we said, am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? And there's a moment of belief, like I do. And those confetti moments happen at the end of games and they happen at the end of the day where you realize I'm enough.
Honestly, I'm just in a vulnerable moment for me. And we opened up, we were talking before we started recording, you were saying, hey, last time I saw you, you were on national television, Good Morning America. And I would have to say for myself, that was a confetti moment. That was a Catching Confetti moment, because there's just that pressure of you've got 3 minutes to sum up 3.5 decades of your life and book and the pressure. But that did come back to, for me, Brett, was to refocus to, wait a minute, God wanted me here. There's no one that I could not have called up Good Morning America and said, hey, can I come on your show? Like, that's not going to happen. It was a God moment, God ordained, God wanted me there. God knows who I am. I'm the woman to say this message. I had to get myself psyched up to go, no, because if I started to worry about the output, how would I be received? Is this going to go well? Man, my thoughts would just get me danger. But when I came back to, wait a minute, who's God? Who am I? And isn't as if I came off the street. I have 3 decades of, I know what I'm talking. You have to have this, who am I? And now, how can I give this out to someone else? Which even in my interview was kind of the ending point of, this is going to go out to others. This is why we've written this message, that it would make change in the world, not sell some books. So I didn't even think about that. Now we had just had that moment, like, that was a catching confetti moment for me.
It was.
And here's the other thing about confetti. Our whole team, they have a love hate with it, because I love it and it's awesome in the moment. But then what is it? The cleanup. And to everyone who hears my voice, I always clean up with them. I always get in there and clean it up. But I always think to myself, this is God's heart. I think God loves spending. This makes no sense. It's going to be a complete mess. It's going to be messy to clean up, but you're worth it. You celebrate that. Yeah.
One of my biggest regrets, I worked with a basketball team, and biggest regrets, an overstatement, but they won the championship, went into the locker room, and I had bags of confetti to just shower the locker room with.
Yeah.
Well, in basketball, they dump the water cooler. And so the locker room is completely soaking wet, and I have my bag of confetti ready to go. And I was like, oh, I can't do it. It's going to get stuck in the water. There's no way we'll get it all cleaned up. So I didn't do it.
You needed biodegradable. You needed like the kind that would just melt away turn into Kool-Aid or something. Oh my gosh. I love it. All right, Brett. Well, thank you for being here. That was a really great conversation. I actually was thinking to myself, 830 episodes, you might be one of the first people, funny enough, to come on and talk about mindset. Even though we know through the years, we're always talking Romans about set your mind on the things of the spirit, set your mind. I think we're always have been talking about it biblically, mindset, worldview, biblical, Christ. But I think you're the first one to ever come on and just talk to us in a practical, this is how it plays out, and these are the things you can do. And I learned a lot today. So, awesome.
Well, thanks for having me. I love this. It is definitely the foundation of everything else that comes.
It really is.
Spend time on it.
Well, we'll have you back. I've got to look at all your books you've written. I need to read some books now. But that being said, okay, we do quick rapid fire questions at the end for you, Brett. Favorite way to move your body?
Mountain biking or sand volleyball?
Sand volleyball.
Yeah.
See, the sand sticking to me, I'm out.
What's crazy is I hate sand. And Taylor gives me so much crap because I'll never dive because I don't want to get sandy. But the sport is so much fun. And so, I love it.
Do you play 2-on-2 or like the full thing? Oh, so you got to get after it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Challenge.
Do you play with Taylor? I could see you both doing it good because you both have height on you and a good reach.
Yep. We got a little co-ed partnership going, and our marriage has survived it so far. So
that's good. Praise God. Yep. Praise God. He ties together. Favorite movie. What about coffee, tea, or kombucha?
Oh, you know what's wild? I'm so boring. I don't do any of that. Smoothies. That's my go-to. Fruit smoothies, and I do water. And that's about the extent of
Do you make your smoothie?
I do. Yeah.
What do you put in it? Give us a recipe.
Yep. So just a fruit medley combination.
Yeah.
Banana. Either it's regular milk or like almond milk, whatever we have. And then either a honey vanilla yogurt. Or if it's post-workout, I do a tablespoon of peanut butter.
That sounds good. I'm hungry right now, so that sounds really good. All right, guys, swipe up on the show notes to find out more about Brett and find his books and connect with him in all the places. Brett, thank you for being here, and thank you for bringing us lending us your lovely wife during the day.
Thanks for having me. Thanks for having her.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. Just a reminder to swipe up on the show notes for all the links mentioned in the episode and for our upcoming Get Strong program. You can also leave us a message on SpeakPipe by swiping up on the show notes, because we want to hear how this podcast spoke to your soul and your heart. We'll see you in all the places, friends. Peace.